I have not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't think at times, even though as each year passes and each month and each trip into God that I take, I realize more and more what He has for us and what He intends for us, but I don't think that ever that maybe that member in the body of Christ, you're a member in the family of God. You're a son and a daughter. You're a son and a daughter of God, adopted in the family of Christ. You have the same inheritance as the Lord Jesus Christ because He died for you.
Amen.
He gave His life for you. You were adopted into the body of Christ. So therefore, everything that Jesus has is ours.
That's right. Amen.
And you might say, well, I don't feel like it. You might ought to put this up here. I don't feel like it necessarily. I don't feel like that I have everything. In fact, I got up this morning and my body said differently that I didn't have everything. But you have.
Yes.
You have. You've been given everything that you could ever think of or ever imagine or ever imagine needing or ever needing in your body or in your family or in your finances. Everything that you could ever need has already been given to you. Sometimes we get caught, you know, especially us Pentecostals, we get caught sitting around waiting for God to give us something and He's already given it. There's no need in waiting for a sovereign move of God because 2,000 years ago there was a sovereign move of God in everything that we'll ever need.
That
was given to us. Hallelujah. And I praise God, you know, that we have this inheritance. And just because we don't have the manifestation of it, that isn't God's fault.
That's right.
Somebody, somewhere, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere. Well, God, He's not stuck. And He done everything He could. And God gave it all to us, delivered everything that we could be delivered from. He delivered it 2,000 years ago, delivered everything to us that could be delivered to us. So there's one person that might be stuck, and that's you and I. But I tell you what, the more I learned about His grace and His mercy and His love, the more I just want to go farther into Him and get this manifestation, this that is given on these written pages out into the open for our children, where I have it alive, where others can see it. You know, it's important. You know, some people think, well, you know, I'm called to witness. I'm supposed to witness to everybody. No, you're not called a witness. You're called to be a witness. They're supposed to see your life and see that God-like love oozing out, or that prosperity or that health to be oozing out. Now, don't be in condemnation if you feel like, well, I fall short in that area. Well, that's where the grace and mercy of God comes in. That His grace is there for you until you can get to that point where when you walk down the street or walk down one of these county roads or drive your car down one of these county roads, there's something special about that person that's passing by. Well, the special thing is they're full of God and the manifestation of it is coming on the outside, not just something locked up on the inside. So this inheritance that we received is not just something for us to dwell on. Now, we should be walking in every bit of the prosperity, every bit of the health that He ever delivered, every bit of the peace that He ever delivered, but it's also for something. That inheritance is more than just something for me to have, something for me to have and to use for myself and heap upon myself. There's something more to it, and if that was all there was, God would be a very selfish God.
Yes, He would.
But He's not that way. And He didn't give you this inheritance for you not to have it. He's not one that will give something and then take it away. In fact, His Word says exactly the opposite, that He can't take it away. And He cannot lie. In Him is all truth. If He said that you were healed, then my goodness, it doesn't matter what your body says. You were healed 2,000 years ago. He said that He took on your poverty and delivered back the riches of heaven, then He delivered back to you and I the riches of heaven. For this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever it is tonight that you're expecting or wanting or needing or whatever it is, I know that God wants it more than you could ever imagine, more than I could ever imagine, more than I could ever convince myself out of the Word of God. As much as I would like to think that I know everything that God has for me, I know that it's even beyond what I can even comprehend at this time. He says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Well, I think that everybody here tonight probably loves Him. I know that I do. I love Him to the extent that I can possibly love Him. Now, I would like to love Him more, and I'm falling more in love with Him every day. So if you feel like, well, sometimes I don't know how much I love Him. Well, then don't feel alone, because there was a time that I didn't know how much I could love Him either, you know. But it is a process, and He understands that, and His grace is there. You're to continue on doing the things in the Word of God. Then that causes you, as you see His grace and His mercy is poured out upon you, and what He asks of you, then you continue day by day to fall in love with Him more and more and more. And able to receive more and more and more of what He has. You know, I'm walking in as much anointing right now as I can walk into. There is more for me. But as far as what I'm walking in right now, it's as much as I'm able to walk into. Now, as I go more into His Word and develop more and more relationship with Him, then the more anointing that I walk into, the more that I die to the things of the world and things of the flesh and the emotions, then the more anointing that I walk into. The same for each one of you and your callings. Hallelujah. It says in verse 10, "But God has revealed unto us, even though, now what he's saying here, he said, "I have not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You can never, with your natural mind, and this is where religion and denominations and traditions and all that have took the wrong turn, never can you, with your own natural mind or natural eye, ever comprehend or learn of the things of God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. He delivered unto us the Spirit of God to not only be with us, but to dwell and live inside us.
Amen.
I like to think it this way, and a lot of people don't like it this way, but I like to think of it this way. To set up the word dwell, to set up housekeeping. He's going to be there forever until the day Jesus returns. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to bring to us the things of God, to reveal unto us when we don't know exactly, where do I stand in healing? Just how far has healing gone for me? Just how far has miracles gone for me? Well, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to get that across to us. Just how far into prosperity has He delivered us? Well, everything that we could ever need or ever want or ever think of. You know, just because somebody has taken part of that inheritance and maybe perverted it and using it to heap up on themselves Cadillacs and new houses and all that, just because some have done that doesn't make God wrong. He still wants to deliver to us all the prosperity, all the healing that He delivered 2,000 years ago. He wants it manifested in our life, and He wants it there for a reason.
That's right.
Amen. He thanks a lot of you.
Yes, He does.
You love Him, He loves you even more. But He also has another purpose for that inheritance. We're talking about this inheritance that when you said, "Jesus, come into my heart, live in my heart, I want to live for You, I give my life to You," you immediately became a child in the family of God, and you were entitled to an inheritance in every area of your life. It was delivered free of charge, no way you could earn it or work for it. It was delivered by the grace of God, this inheritance. Now He wants you to take that inheritance and do something with it. He wants us to live comfortably. He wants us to have everything. He does. I told some people the other day, I said, "Look, God isn't in you having zero at the end of the month."
That's right.
What you need to begin to see is a $50 month.
Yeah.
That is that whenever everything is paid for at the end of the month and you come down to the bottom line, you still got 50 left over. And when you get that image on the inside and you got that manifested in your life, then you need to begin to see a $100 month. And then while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and get that image on the inside that you could have $1,000 a month? Well, why are you saying this, Brother Rogers? So I can heap more upon myself? No, that you can be a vessel for God to flow through and touch this world.
Amen.
You got people around you right now, all through the area out here. And I'll bet if we wouldn't go very far until we could find somebody in need, in dire need.
Amen. Right.
Somebody that needed to see a little bit of God oozing out of the overflow.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
But how can you do that if you're broke?
Amen. Talk about it.
Yeah, think about it. That's a good thought.
Yes, it is.
You know, you come down at the end of the month, you paid all the bills, you paid that $325 a month car payment on that brand new pickup. So what? If you'd had $100 a month payment, you'd have had another $225 left over. Then you'd have had a $225 a month.
Lord.
It's a matter of changing an image. You know, we just accept things. Well, I ended up with a zero a month. Everything balanced out, Brother Gerald. You know, I paid all my bills. I paid those big car payments and those big house payments. At the end, I had zero. Well, at least you paid everything. And so then we accept that. And go on. And then we accept that throughout our entire life. Well, my body hurts, so I'm going to accept that. The rest of my life that my body hurts. Well, that's not what God intended. He didn't intend for you to accept that. He didn't intend for me to accept that. He didn't intend for my joints, just because I'm 44 years old, for my joints to hurt. He didn't intend for me to accept that. He expected a different image, that we get the image on the inside of a healed body. Of a body that's walking through their fullness of health. How can you? If you go home early to heaven, yeah, you made it to heaven. But if you go home early, how can you get all those other souls saved or reach and touch and change other people's lives?
Amen.
Or if you're in a wheelchair, or bless your heart, you know, you can't get around very well. How can you minister to the needs of other people? See, there's no condemnation. His grace is there, and He'll heal you and set you free. But what I'm saying is, it's not in Him for you to accept it.
Amen.
And live with it for the rest of your life. That's not in Him. He didn't intend for that. 2,000 years ago, He gave you an inheritance that you could walk out of it and be a vessel for Him to flow through. See, an inheritance for you to do something with. Not an inheritance that you just sit down on these nice padded pews, and they were nice. I felt pretty comfortable sitting there walking. But it wasn't, that inheritance wasn't for you just to sit on these pews. And last time I was here, it was a lot hotter in here than it was this time. It feels kind of frigid right now.
Yeah.
Praise God. It wasn't His intention for you to take that inheritance and just sit. If you don't mind me saying this, just sit on your inheritance.
Amen.
He wanted you to get off your inheritance and do something with it.
Right.
Begin to use it in the body of Christ. It's called increasing the kingdom of God. But first, most people just need to know that they have an inheritance. Most people don't realize that. You know, God is, or a lot of them in the body of Christ still haven't realized that they have an inheritance, that God gave them an inheritance freely. It's nothing they could earn. It's there.
Amen.
It's there for us to receive and have manifested in our lives. So that's the first thing. You've got to begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you reveal to me the inheritance that I've been given? Will you reveal to me everything that God has given me? You know, maybe some may have the revelation about the inheritance of the part of healing in the inheritance, and then others, that you know, they may have the revelation about prosperity and inheritance, or peace, or, you know, that He's a life-changing God. Well, somebody else may not have that particular revelation of the inheritance, but whatever it is that you're short in, the Holy Spirit will hold nothing back.
Amen.
I get tickled because sometimes I'm around some friends of mine. You know, they are called as businessmen in the body of Christ, and you know, they're called to make money, and there is that calling, that gift of giving. that you're to follow through, you know, your ministry. And some of them, you know, I get tickled on, they'll act like that God has given them some big secret that they're going to make money. God never intended to withhold anything from anybody.
Right.
If He reveals something to somebody for them to make money, He expects them to share that, to reproduce themselves, to multiply. See, God's a God of reproduction.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
He wants them to take that revelation that they have in the Word of God and begin to reproduce others, that they can go out and make money for the kingdom of God. You know, there has to be the right motive. Somewhere along the line, you know, you have to correct your motives if your motives are out of line. But He expects them to reproduce. And actually, you're only cutting your own supply line off if you don't reproduce. When you begin helping other people, that's whenever the blessings can flow. Whenever your motive is that you want to help others in the body of Christ, you have touched God's heart.
Amen.
See, my wife and I, we don't worry about any need or anything that because God's going to supply all of it, because we make sure that in our hearts we keep that motive of why are we in the ministry? Well, He showed me a long time ago that He's a life-changing God, so I'm supposed to be out there for Him to flow through to change other people's lives. That's helping other people, changing their lives from where they're at now to another point.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your call is, the motive has to be right. A motive of helping other people. Those that are lost and those that are in the body of Christ that don't have that revelation, you're to help them. It's to overflow out of you into them. That opens up the blessings of God in your life. But first you've got to realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that will reveal. He's the only one that can reveal your natural mind, your natural eye, the natural things of man. You can't find out the things that have been freely given to you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will reveal these things to you. Well, would you show me that? Yeah, let's just read on a little bit farther here. It says, for what man knows the things of in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Now, the spirit of the world is being a child of the devil. That's basically what that is. If you're of the world, then you're a child of the devil. You have to either be a child of God or a child of the devil. There is no in-between, you understand. You're either or, you know. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Before you were born again, you were a child of the devil. You're a child of the spirit of death instead of the spirit of life. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And now he's talking about your born-again spirit. He's not even talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking now about the born-again spirit. First he said, not the spirit of the world. That's an unregenerate, that's an unborn-again spirit. That's a spirit that's unable to receive the things of God or understand the things of God. And then he says that we might not, but the spirit who is from God, that's your born again spirit. At that point, when you got born again, you received the capacity to understand and receive things from God. Before that, you were not able to. I remember before I was born again, when I would open a Bible, you know, in one of them motel rooms or something, I wouldn't understand one word of the Bible. You know, I know about all the Bible stories and all that, but as far as taking the Bible, opening up and trying to read it, I couldn't even read it, basically. I mean, I couldn't even focus on it more than 5 minutes. And I certainly didn't understand what the Word of God said. But when I got born again and I received the Holy Spirit, then I may have not have understood very much at a time, but I did begin to understand. I received the capacity to understand the Word of God and the things that God had for me, and was able then to begin to understand Him. Before that, I couldn't even understand Him. One of the biggest problems that we have getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, as you well know, the more education they have, the more they think with their mind, the more trouble we have getting them filled with the Holy Spirit, because their mind is always trying to analyze and figure this out. How do I figure out praying in other tongues? Well, he says the natural mind is not going to understand the things of God.
Amen.
So that certainly right there explains that.
Amen.
But then when I got born again and received the Holy Spirit, then I began to understand a little bit of time. I may have not known everything at one time and didn't even receive everything at one time, but at least I received the capacity to begin to understand the Word of God and begin to understand the things that God had for me. It goes on, he says, but the Spirit who is from God, you've received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And that's what he's talking about, what we just said about your inheritance. That you might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And he goes on, and he told the people there, Corinthians, he said, look, he said, you're a bunch of babies, and this is how I tell. All you do is fight and fuss and have divisions among you, so therefore you're babes. I can't even explain some of this to you because you're carnal. You're babies in Christ. I can't even get past the milk.
Yeah.
So if you've been fighting and fussing and dividing lately, well, I'll just let Paul settle it for you.
Yeah.
He wrote it. I didn't. The Spirit of God wrote it. I didn't.
Yeah.
But I can see that you weathered the storm, you know. I can tell that this place has weathered the storm. You know, one thing I have found is this, is that if something is not of God, don't worry about it, it'll die.
Amen.
If something is of God, you can't kill it.
Amen.
That's the way to look at it. That's what I tell people. Hey, before you divide and split that church, just remember this. If it's not of God, you're dead. You know, so we got to keep that in mind, that the things of God will stand, that the things that are not of God won't stand. But he went on and he talked about that. But let's get on to verse, let's pick it up for verse 9. He said, for we are in chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds it. Now he's talking here basically about false doctrine. And about wrong teaching. And about men's traditions and religion and things like that. But it goes on, he says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You must be born again. There is no other way. You must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the foundation. That is your way to heaven, and that is the foundation. But he said, not only that, he said, be careful about how you lay upon this foundation. Be careful about how you use this inheritance that has been delivered to you. Be careful about how you use these things from God that God has given you. He said, be careful.
Yes.
He said, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. But if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Do you know that it doesn't just stop here? It doesn't just stop with salvation. It doesn't just stop with getting filled with the Holy Ghost and having that speaking in tongues experience. In fact, the evidence of speaking in tongues is not even the issue in the Word of God. The issue in the Word of God is whether you want the Holy Spirit praying on your behalf or not. Whether you want Him involved in your life, teaching you and praying and standing in the gap on your behalf, that's the issue. The evidence of speaking in other tongues is not even the issue in the Word of God. The issue is this, is that whether you want the Holy Spirit in on your life, bringing the inheritance and keeping you until the day of redemption. That is the issue in the Word of God. It's not evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you know how big I am on speaking in other tongues. My goodness, I'll preach to you the next two or three nights over that. But the issue is not the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's whether you want to turn your life over to the Holy Ghost or not, that He can keep you until that day that Jesus returns and teach you and keep you on this foundation and be careful how you build on it. What He's saying is that here's the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I sent the Holy Spirit that you could understand and receive have the capacity to receive the things from God that has been given to you, all of your inheritance, and that He'll keep you lined out building on this foundation and keep you going the right direction, building up on it with correct doctrine, that whenever you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't end there, because your work that you've done here on earth is going to be tested by fire.
Yes, it will.
And that stands the test of fire, you'll receive a reward. That doesn't stand the test of fire will be burned up crisper than toast.
Yeah.
Like a pile of pine needles.
Yeah.
Well, that good work went up in flames. I told a bunch of people the other day, I looked out across the crowd, and I knew before I said it I was going to get some bad looks, because most of them were former Catholics that were in the crowd. I said, you know, you don't want to end up in India in some ghetto doing good works and not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Just know that you want to do good works. You want to be where God wants you to be, doing those good works. You want to take time with the Holy Ghost and find out exactly where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. You should have seen the glares I got. They thought that I was talking about Mother Teresa. I told them they probably thought wrong. You can't assume who I'm talking about. All I'm talking about is that you don't want to be in the wrong place. Spend your entire life thinking that you're doing good works, and you didn't even ask Jesus where you're supposed to be. Didn't even take time out to find out from the Holy Ghost, who has every part of the plan of God for your life. And if you didn't take time out, it was your own fault, because everything in your inheritance was supplied for you to find out exactly where you're supposed to be. Well, that's the way us evangelists are. You know, we get those looks every now and then. He says, if anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. And he goes on and he talks about, if anyone defiles this temple of God, God will destroy him. Well, he's talking about false doctrine. You know, we think sometimes it's Pentecostals that, you know, well, it's the smoking, you know, that he's talking about. Well, you know, smoking's not good for your health, you know. We know that, you know. It'll destroy your health. You know, alcohol will destroy your health. But what he's talking about here is doctrine. He's saying be careful about the foundation, how you build on the foundation, what direction you're going. Be careful and make sure that you get the Holy Ghost involved in your doctrine. Be careful on what you believe in. Get the Holy Ghost involved in what you believe in, because, see, you have an inheritance, and part of that inheritance is this guarantee, this earnest, this deposit that is sealed for the day of redemption.
Come on. Praise God.
The heart of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit. Lead, God, direct us. Teach us. Purge out.
Yes.
I said set up housekeeping. Purge out false doctrine. Purge out the things that are not of God. Wrong, doubt, and unbelief.
Yeah.
We could talk about that all night, doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Rogers, I'd rather speak about my faith level. Well, why don't you just start by calling it what it is, doubt and unbelief? That's okay. God will help you out of that, too. Like I said, the Holy Spirit's a transformer. Most people think, a lot of them think, I won't say most people, a lot of them think that the Holy Spirit, when you talk about praying in other tongues, that means a lot of them means intercession or tongues for interpretation and so forth. Most of the tongues talked about in the New Testament is tongues for edification, that you can begin to get the Holy Ghost in on your life and start that transforming in your life and purge out those things out of your life, that He can build you up on your most holy faith above all that crud that you brought into the kingdom of God with you.
Come on.
That's what tongues is mostly spoken about in the New Testament. It's what Paul talked about in the most
part.
There is other parts of tongues, you know, tongues for interpretation.
Yes.
Tongues for the unbeliever. Tongues of intercession. But for the most part, tongues are for edification. It's the body of Christ, your private hotline to God, that you, when you pray in other tongues, you speak down the plan of God, the mind of Christ in your life. So therefore, we don't have any excuse but to be on the right path, receiving everything from God. Well, Brother Rogers, I don't feel like I receive everything from God. In fact, this morning, you should have seen my body. Couldn't you hardly get out of bed? That's all right. The grace of God is there, and that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to purge you of that doubt and unbelief that you can walk in.
Come on.
for that inheritance. Receive your healing and get up a healed man or woman.
Amen.
Walk out and let that flow to others around you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
You got to begin to get an image on the inside of you of somebody different. You say, I'm failing. My prosperity message is failing me. I need to listen to Kenneth Copeland this coming Sunday morning because my prosperity message is failing me. Now what you need to do is begin to change the image on inside you of who you are. And let the Holy Spirit begin to build upon that image. Well, Brother Rogers, I'm not even that far. I just can't get up of a morning without sinning before the morning's over. You need to begin to change the image of who you are on the inside. It starts with image. You've got to get the image before you can have the manifestation on the outside. The Holy Spirit will begin to bring to you who you are, the righteousness in Him. And then you can have the manifestation, but you've got to begin to change the image first. You can't keep on with the same image you've got right now and have change in your life. It won't work that way. But the Holy Spirit is there. You say, well, how does He do this? Well, I'm glad you ask. I'll give you an example if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Well, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to go home and listen to the tape that she's recording up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. You cannot begin to change the image inside you without the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and begin to change that image if you'll begin to turn yourself over to Him. He'll begin to change that image on the inside. You've got to have an image change. If you're falling short in your life, you've got to have an image change. Whatever area it is that you're falling short in, then you're walking in, and now all of a sudden you're changing the image that you have the riches of heaven. Now things don't look so bleak, and you've got to have that image before you're ever going to walk out of it. Unless you change your image, you're never going to walk out of where you're at. So, well, how do you know that God wants to change me? That's just the way He is. He wants to change you. You'll just have to believe me. He wants to change you. Well, you'll just have to accept me the way I am. No, we won't. No. God wants to change you from glory to glory to glory to glory. He wants to change you. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, among other things.
Glory.
Is He'll get in on your act and begin to purge you, begin to transform you. But He's got to have something in you. Well, you can't just not read the Word of God and say, well, I'm going to get changed. Yeah, you'll get lopsided and get flaky on it. Go off in a different direction because the Word of God wasn't there for Him to change too. Brother Joel, am I doing all right?
You're doing fine. You're doing great.
He's got to have something to change. So. I was crucified with Him.
Yes.
You know, there's an image.
Yes.
Crucifying the flesh, leaving that sin behind. Sin shall not have dominion over me. There's another image.
Right.
If sin defeats you every day, you need to begin to get that image on the inside.
Yeah.
Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
The Word of God does it alive. It says sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It has no dominion.
Yeah.
It does not rule in your life. You need to begin to get that image on the inside. You can't have the manifestation of no sin without that image first. It comes first.
Glory.
You need to begin to look at yourself differently. I'm the righteousness in Christ.
Yes. Come on.
You need to begin to get that image on the inside of you that you can become what the Word of God says. That you can receive the inheritance that you've been given, not just written words on a page, but manifested and alive in your life that we can all see it.
Glory.
See, I want to see it in my life, and I want others to see it. I don't want them to have to question. I want them to be able to see it oozing out of my life.
Yeah.
I won't settle for anything less.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit. If you get him involved with the Word of God, he'll begin to change that image on the inside, begin to change you from glory to glory until you conform to that image of Christ. See, the Word of God is the image of Christ, and that's the direction that we're to head. There's just one problem. You've got to let him in on it. You've got to let him get involved in your life. You've got to decide, well, maybe I just ain't so perfect after all. Maybe there is something there. Maybe I have more doubt and unbelief deep rooted down than what I thought I got. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, leaving those things behind that you once were. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you go up, you have to leave something behind. They had trouble with this translation down in Peru. I said, when you go up a ladder, you leave things behind.
Yeah.
They had trouble with that translation, so we had to stop and explain it. Just took all the push out of it. But that's what it is. When you go up the ladder, you leave things behind. Or when you pray in the Holy Ghost and building yourselves up on your most holy faith, you begin to leave behind those things that you once were. And now the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God, begin to change you and make you into the image of Christ. But if you don't get him involved, there ain't nothing he can do because he won't force you. He won't force you. So we thought, well, you know, I received the Holy Ghost the other night. What a wonderful experience. And it was with you, you know, for a week or two, and then the experience wore off. 10 or 15, 20, 30 years passed. Well, I remember receiving the Holy Ghost back there. What a wonderful experience it was. Well, it ought to be an experience every day for you to get with the Holy Spirit. To get Him working on your life. Invite Him in that He can begin that transformation, begin to change that image on the inside. But if you don't stop long enough, you know, the pastor gets up and preaches about prayer, and you think it's spending 5 minutes after you get up with the Holy Ghost. Well, 5 minutes is a little bit of a start. It'd be nicer, though, if you'd spend at least an hour with the Holy Spirit each morning. Each day. Well, I can't do it up a morning. I can do it at night. Well, fine, stay up all night and spend time with him. He'd like you to get to know him. He'd like to get a chance to work in our life.
Yes, he would.
There's been a lot of rough times my wife and I have been through in the ministry. One thing I've found is, though, as long as I keep praying the Holy Ghost, keep built up on my most holy faith, I never lose that image of how he's called me to do. What he's called me to be, where he's called me to go. I never lose that image, but it's because I give him a chance to renew it day by day. Power by that. But you've got to begin to let him. He won't force his way into your life. You've got to invite him in. Well, how do I invite him in? Well, you can find out tonight. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking other tongues, you can receive it tonight.
Amen.
I guarantee you. Yeah. Most fun I had in Peru was getting Baptist pastors filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget this one we were at. Wonderful man. He came to me and through the interpreter, he said, been having all kinds of miracles, laying hands on people, and people receiving miracles in his church, going out, getting people saved, receiving miracles, you know, the lame walking, the blind seeing, all this type of stuff. But he said, there's just one thing. He said, I just haven't been able to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, my goodness, most Holy Ghost people are not even doing what you're doing. But he did that night. He got his wish that time. I mean, laid hands on him. A split second. You and I was at the time. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it's more than just a Pentecostal experience. It's a way of life. You got to stop long enough to begin the way of life. Say, Brother Rogers, I can't stop sinning. Well, you need an image change. You need to let the Holy Ghost in on an image change. You can't do it without cracking your Bible open, meditating on the Word of God. said, well, I thought the Holy Spirit was going to do it. Yeah, he follows the Word of God, takes the Word of God and changes your life with it. He'll even go in and operate in the cancer. You've got to stop long enough to begin to let him in. It's not just when we get excited up there singing or out there listening. It's not just when we have a good praise report. It's an everyday way of life, offering yourself over to the Holy Spirit, spending that hour each morning praying in other tongues. He who prays in an unknown tongue prays down the mysteries. Mysteries meaning the mind of Christ. Think about that. You want a mind change? You want a new mind? You know, some of us, when we get born again, we really need a new mind. Well, I got a new mind when I got born again. Well, how come you don't act like it? Well, because you're not transformed yet. But He will transform that mind into the mind of Christ. When you begin to pray in other tongues, you're praying down the mind of Christ for your life.
Glory.
My brother, could you go to the piano and begin to softly play? I think I'm so...